Call the meeting to order. And let me see if I can find my agenda again. So I think first thing is roll call.
So Chair Alan Forrest.
Here.
Vice Chair Naranjan Vesio.
Here.
Commissioner Patricia Olson.
Here.
And Commissioner Tom Mayer.
Here.
Okay. Call to the audience. Any?
No card.
Okay. So let's move right into item number one, review and approval of February 12th, 2024, regular session meeting minutes. Anybody have any changes? Hearing none, I do have one. And I think you probably put this in there just to, you know, as a test to make sure. But it, in item two at the bottom, it says Vice Chair Naranjan Forrest. So I think that needs to be changed. Yeah, yeah, it's one of those mashups.
I own a forest.
That's all I have. Okay. With that change, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve the minutes.
I will second that.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Okay. Item number two, update, discussion, and action on water utility annual report.
All righty. Oh, thank you very much, Chair Forrest. So, our April 2024 annual report is now complete. Hopefully, after this little presentation here, this commission will recommend that the staff render this to council, and if so, it'll be on our website, hopefully tomorrow morning. And I want to thank, we got some comments back from the commissioners, and I think we incorporated all of them. I think there was one instance here where Chair Forrest says, you know, it showed where our well recovery, our greatest well recovery was just equal but opposite. Our greatest well decline was the same number, and it actually was the same number.
It was. I was surprised.
What I did is, in parentheses, I put that that's correct. It's the same number. Because, you know, Chair Forrest said, this is really a good document that staff even goes back to look up things historically. And I know that 10 years from now, maybe 15 years from now, the next person will look at that and be like, oh, that must have been a typo. And I want to be like, no, that's what it was. So this document, I think this report gets better every year, and it's thanks to the input from our commissioners. So we thank you very much for taking the time to review that. One of the things town code requires is that staff render, or the commission, staff and the commission render this report to town council by April 1st of every year. And with that, unless there's any discussion, staff respectfully requests the Water Utility Commission's approval of the Water Utility Annual Report, April 2024, and that this annual report be rendered to council on or before April 1st, 2024. Is there any discussion?
Any other discussion?
Nothing.
I just was going to mention another one that I got a kick out of was gallons per mile.
Oh, yeah.
That one before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so it's, I'll tell you what, and also thank you to David Allred, Lee Jacobs, and Mary Rallis for their work on the report. We've read it probably three or four times, but you wouldn't believe, the gallons per mile.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Like, I've read this so many times.
I almost blew through it, and then I was like, that's like, 8 gallons per mile. That didn't look right.
It's like I have a 68 Mercury Cougar with a little hopped up V8 in it, and it gets gallons per mile. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Great report.
Yes.
Very, very well done. I'll entertain a motion if anybody has any other comments. Or...
Is that the motion you want read?
I think Peter read it. I think you're okay.
Yeah, unless you want to, unless you want me to say it again.
No.
Okay.
Oh, second. I'll second that. Sorry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All in favor? Aye.
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 And opposed? And abstentions.
Thank you very much. And then on, I think it's March 6th is our, no, in March. No, is it April? April. What's our first? I'll see. I think it's
you'll
April.
See it when you do your,
in April, the town manager had asked me to do a little presentation to council on the annual report. So, if you want to listen in, you can hear. You can hear me hit the highlights of that.
Mm-hmm. That takes care of that item. Item number three, update and discussion on March 2024 Arizona Reconsultation Committee meeting. Mr. Avery.
Am I using the right clicker here?
Yes. We were having issues earlier.
It was working a minute ago. Mm-hmm.
I just keep working. Mm-hmm. Where do I point at?
Let me...
Ready to
go? Now the keyboard's working.
I can click for you, Peter, if that's okay.
What's that?
I can click for you.
Okay. Okay, great. So this is the I think this may be the first time I've presented to the commission body on the reconsultation committee. So this is part of CAP, ADWR, and getting together with partners and stakeholders to wrestle with, you know, what is possibly a reallocation of the Colorado River look like for Arizona in particularly, but as well as the lower basin states. So you've heard me talk about this the reconsultation plan, and for the first time, it was last week, March 6th, the stakeholders and CAP subcontractors got to see what the plan was and comment on it. Currently, the three basin states have committed to conserving 3 million acre feet through the interim period through 2026. So the current drought contingency plan that we're operating under is good through December 2026. We know the river's overallocated, and beginning in January 2027, the Bureau of Reclamation has asked the states come up with another plan that does two things. One, makes up the structural deficit, which is roughly 1.2 million acre feet a year, but then also has provisions to account for the effects of climate change, so additional cuts. And they've asked the upper and lower basin states to figure out this plan. So because of various reasons, we do have voluntary cuts from folks that use the Colorado River in the order of 3 million acre feet. And that reduction is on track to protect the water system through 2026. And we're seeing that now. Calendar year 2023, we were in a tier 2B shortage. And because of these reduced demands on the Colorado River, we're now into a tier 1 shortage. So the reductions, you know, seem to be working through 2026. As I had mentioned, our current drought contingency plan expires in December of 2026. And so we have a schedule to develop a post-2026 Colorado River operations. So the milestones are from the fall of 2023 through the spring of 2024, develop operational alternatives by the Bureau of Reclamation partners and stakeholders. This is what I'm going to be focusing on tonight, what came, the results of those discussions, and what was submitted to the Bureau of Reclamation by the Lower Basin States. The next step from the spring of 2024 to the fall of 2024 is to have the Bureau of Reclamation prepare a draft plan of operation, and hopefully that incorporates the comments made by all seven basin states, Bureau of Reclamation, and Mexico. And then in December 2024, we expect the Bureau of Reclamation to publish a draft plan of operation with a commenting period to follow. And then in January 2025 through December 2026, Bureau of Reclamation publishes a final draft of operation and record of decision is issued. As you know, we're in an election year this year, so none of us are expecting any kind of action in 2024. We expect, the Bureau of Reclamation to review the plans submitted by the lower basin states and the upper basin states, but we don't expect any kind of decision for the rest of this calendar year. Next slide, please. So the lower basin states, we've come up with what's called the lower basin alternative, and the goals are to improve the Colorado River reliability over a broad but plausible range of future conditions, address the structural deficit and more in the lower basin by reducing 1.5 million acre feet of use in the lower basin, share the risk and benefits of the system within and between the basins, and improve the predictability of reductions to stabilize Lake Mead. Next slide, please. So, the lower basin alternative, the reduction determination. So one of the things that's a little different that's being proposed, and I think it's a good idea, is right now any cuts to the lower basin states is determined by the water surface elevations in Lake Mead right here. Now, in the upper basin, there's a bunch of, there's smaller but important reservoirs. You know, we have a Flaming Gorge, Blue Mesa, the Navajo Reservoir, and they all feed into Lake Powell. And that's a very large reservoir. And the water surface elevations of Lake Powell dictate how much release we get to Lake Mead, which, of course, the water surface elevations of Lake Mead determine what kind of Colorado River availability is available to the lower basin states. One of the things that we're proposing, instead of just looking at the water surface elevations of Lake Mead, is looking at the system capacity as a whole. And I think that's a good idea. So that way it prevents, you know, maybe upper basin state games with, you know, holding more water in upper reservoirs to have Lake Powell show an artificially low water surface elevation, thus reducing releases to Lake Mead. So one of the things the lower basin states is proposing is let's look at the demands on the river holistically. And it's been calculated that the maximum system contents of the Colorado River system and its reservoirs is a little over 58 million acre feet. So system contents are based on the volume in each reservoir that is available for release in millions of acre feet. So here again, the system, a little over 58 million acre feet. Next slide, please. And before I look at this, can we go to the next slide and we'll come back to this one? So one of the things we're looking at is we're going to talk about these different reductions on the preceding graph. But what I wanted to emphasize was if you look at what we call this initial reduction zone, and that's between 300,000 acre feet a year to 1.5 million acre feet a year, we're not showing any reductions to the upper basin states. It's all lower basin states. So up to 1.5 million acre feet a year, 760,000 acre feet come from Arizona, 440,000 acre feet come from California, 50,000 from Nevada, and 250,000 from Mexico. One of the things that's different about this plan is, I wasn't privy, and I don't know if any of my colleagues or partners or subcontract users that were privy. There was a plan that was previously released to the Bureau of Reclamation that California rejected. I'm not privy to what those numbers are, but California was on board with this plan. So it has them taking reductions, larger reductions sooner than ever before. So here again, so just keep this in mind that this static reduction, and what this says is we believe the structural deficit, meaning how much was the river overallocated before climate change, doing that thing with my fingers, is about 1.2 million acre feet a year. So the Lower Basin States believes this addresses the structural deficit. Now, think of that as like a part one of addressing the shortfalls on the Colorado River system. The part two being, what are the reductions to the capacity of the Colorado River system due to climate change? The Lower Basin States said, you know what? We'll make up the structural deficit, but any effects due to climate change need to be shared by everybody. And that's where you'll see this 1.5 to 3.9 million acre feet reduction zone. So if you go to the previous slide. So here again, this represents the capacity of the system. You know, this is 58 million acre feet of system capacity, would be 100%. And from, you know, 100% to 69% of system capacity, there's no reduction. Between 69% system capacity and 58% system capacity, you're in this initial reduction zone here. Right now, the system is operating at about 45% system capacity. So I think it's roughly where this line is here. And it's showing that's where the static reduction zone is. And I couldn't really show the both charts and graphs side by side without I thought it would be too small. So basically, the Upper Basin States they're making up this whole part here up to this 1.5 million acre feet a year. And then if we see reductions, you know, more or a less system capacity, that needs to be made up by the whole basin. So if we go to the next slide. So here again, this is what this is showing is who gets cut, what, when. To give you some context, right now, well, for example, last year we were in a tier 2B reduction. That was a 720 acre foot per year reduction. So this is a little more than that. I'm sorry, we're at a 640 acre foot per year CAP reduction. At about 720,000 acre feet, municipal and industrials, subcontract holders would then begin to be affected. So what this doesn't show, though, this doesn't show what is the curtailments to both on-river users and CAP subcontract holders. Arizona has a 2.8 million acre foot allocation. CAP makes up 1.6 million acre feet of that. So this Arizona reduction of 760,000 doesn't necessarily mean it's all CAP. That has not been decided yet on, you know, how much, if any, of that is on river users. That's an intrastate discussion to be had. But right now, this just shows the relationship between Arizona, California, Nevada, and Mexico. So worst case scenario, if this did all come out of CAP, that would dip into M&I's allocation. And if it was spread, you know, like peanut butter across all subcontract holders, that could be like a 5 or 10% reduction in Rural Valley's allocation. Another thing I learned is I thought there was going to be like a reallocation of the river to subcontract holders. And I'm told that is not the case, that our allocation would remain at 10,305 acre feet a year. It's just, you know, we would on years where the system capacity didn't have that, we just wouldn't get that. But it wasn't going to be a reallocation. It's just you weren't going to get your full reallocation. Next slide, please. So the post 2026 lower basin alternative in summary, an innovative system-wide approach here again, not just relying on the water surface elevations of Lake Mead to determine reductions in deliveries to subcontract holders in the lower basin states. I shouldn't say that, to states in the lower basin states. It's in alignment with the 1922 compact and law of the river requirements. It addresses the structural deficit. It creates a framework where lower basin reductions are determined by the health of the system as a whole and not just Lake Mead. And preliminary analysis using reclamation provided hydrologists shows that the post 2026 lower basin alternative plan avoids Deadpool at Lake Powells and Lake Mead. One interesting thing is, so this is a plan that the lower basin states submitted to the Bureau of Reclamation. We learned later that day that the upper basin states submitted their plan to the Bureau of Reclamation, and it showed no cuts to the upper basin states at all, ever. That's obviously doesn't help us get to where we need to get to. I think, you know, the tone, the sentiment that the lower basin states is getting, or the signaling, is the lower basin states really put their best foot forward on this, and the upper basin states haven't. So stay tuned for that. So here again, obviously more work has to be done between the lower basin states and the upper basin states. I think it's everyone in the lower basin states for sure agrees that it's unreasonable to expect that the lower basin states would take, you know, make up all of the capacity difference due to the structural deficit and climate change. So there's more work to be done there. And then also within the state itself, where do those cuts come from and for whom and for how much? So stay tuned. This is the latest and greatest. It's a week old. Next slide, please. I think that is it. Yeah. So I know Chair Forrest has his finger on the pulse of this. I don't know if you heard, if this is all new for you, if you'd heard some of this.
Probably about the same time you did. And there's been a flurry of articles out there, if anybody's been paying attention.
Do you have any color to add to what I've said?
A couple things, maybe, and you touched on it right at the end, but the charge that the Bureau gave the upper and lower basin, well, all seven basin states, was come up with a collaborative, you know, joint proposal, and then we'll weigh that, you know, against what our charge is and what our thinking is. They failed miserably, obviously, and it's because of the upper basin states. They just wouldn't play ball and kind of said, I'm taking my ball and going home. You guys are on your own, and we'll do our own thing. And that's why you have two competing proposals, but they were supposed to be together, and they're not. And, you know, the deadline came and went, and they didn't have it. So another nuance, and this is as much a question because I'm not real sure about this, but the, you know, you mentioned the entire basin. Yeah, and those lower where the, yeah.
One more.
So those last two where it's, you said it's based on climate change, then, you know, any reductions would be shared basin-wide. That includes evaporation, right?
Yeah.
And I think that was the big sticking point with the upper basin, as they said, we shouldn't have to contribute to evaporation losses.
Well,
but that, you have evaporation on the whole
system.
Well,
here's the irony of this. Is, can you go to the previous slide? And one more previous. There you go. One of the arguments the upper basin states said is, well, you're not accounting for all the little in-state or, you know, Arizona or lower basin state tributary flow contributes to the water surface elevations of Lake Mead. And we're like, okay, well, the same rules should apply to you then. They're like, right. Well, no, we don't want to talk about that. Right. We just want to talk about your tributaries. It's like, so
yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see. I think what's important is, this is the irony of it, is before this plan you know, Nevada, Arizona were like button heads with California. But now that California is playing more ball than they have before, now we're like arm locked together, which is actually good, because if you look at our representation in the Congress and the Senate between California, Arizona, Nevada, I don't think the upper basin states can compete with the political clout the lower basin states have.
California by themselves.
By themselves.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we have a junior right CAP, is because of California.
But I don't know why the upper basin states wouldn't play ball, because right now we have the political strength to impose our will on them.
Put all of it on them.
Yeah, I mean, right? So I don't know if they're just positioning themselves for a lawsuit. I really don't know. But it's so stay tuned. As soon as we get late-breaking news, we'll pass it on to our commission.
But you're right. I think, you know, based on all the media coverage, the upper basin states are...
They look
terrible. They look bad. They look really bad. And California, surprisingly, is, you know, kind of got the...
What's their
gold cap
political
on,
position? How could they be intransigent to any kind of reductions?
They just... You know,
heels in.
Yeah. Well, I think
they're forcing factors.
I think their position is all this water, you know, initiates
here
in our, and so we shouldn't have to take a hit when all this water is going to you guys. You should have to take all the hit, not us, you know.
So, a quick question. 58 is total system content maximum. What is it at right now?
45. Well, 42 to 45.
And then you also mentioned initial reduction zone will take care of the structural deficit. Those reductions will take care of the...
Right,
the static reduction.
Yes.
We have to get down to static reduction to take care of the structural deficit in
the
river.
Yeah.
Okay.
So stay tuned. All I can tell you is this is probably going to change.
Yeah.
You know, to me, when we start talking about climate change shared amongst the upper and lower basin states, you know, of course, this number here, depending on, especially if it's divvied up between on-river users and CAP subcontract holders, this is manageable for Oral Valley. This is like less draconian than what I thought it could be.
But this is all uncompensated, where what we're doing now is... compensated. This is uncompensated.
So what Chair Forrest is saying, like right now, you know, the reason we're seeing tier two to tier one is right now users of the Colorado River, especially like, you know, subcontract holders with CAP are being paid not to take their allocation. So they're being compensated not to take it. This is not that. This is, they don't get it. But this number isn't far off. I mean, it's a little higher than the compensated reductions we're seeing now, but not a whole lot different. So
it's a lot better than what the law of the river, you know.
Yeah, this is better than what if you go by the and here again, that's something for the attorneys to figure out. But if you go by the law of the river, this is definitely. I mean, this could have been zero.
Yeah, and ours could have been 100%. Well, 100% of CAP.
Yeah, it could have been 1.6 million acre feet. Mm-hmm. So
one last question, then we'll move on because I made you guys late. That's 760,000. If that's all cap, I think you said to us it may mean 5%.
5 to 10%.
Between 5 and 10%. If it's all cap.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. Stay tuned. Thank you, Marissa, for...
Yeah, thanks for bringing that, Peter. That's good info.
Good info.
Well, thanks for adding the color. Sure.
Item number four, discussion of possible action regarding Water Utility Commission field trip in April. Field trip.
It's field trip time. So, you know, in previous years, we've gone to Tucson Water's Central Arrow Valley Storage and Recovery Project. We've gone to the Tres Rios Wastewater Treatment Plant, on the Kai Farms. So this year we decided, why don't we show our commission folks just right here in at home what we're doing. We're
proposing to tour our town of Oro Valley, some of our capital projects and our water operations. So we thought we'd take the commission on a tour of our Northwest Recharge Recovery Delivery System Reservoir and Booster Station construction that's taking place on roughly the alignment of Shannon Road and Naranja. Take a look at one of our CAP wheeling stations. You hear us talking about the wheeling stations and this and that. Well, let me go take you, show what it looks like. I mean, you've probably driven by it 100 times and never even noticed it. So thought it'd be neat to see that. And then also show you what some of our water operations staff does. Show them, you know, we have this valve truck that we've had for our second year with the valve truck. You know, we're David's implemented a pretty robust valve exercising program. I think you roughly do 3% of the valves a month.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's
average. Yep.
Yeah. Water quality operations and our SCADA operations. So proposed dates and schedule. So if you could kind of, the commission could look at their calendars for April 12th, either the 12th, 15th, 17th, or 19th to see if, and you can just email us or let Maritza know if any of those dates work for you. So roughly report to town hall at 8:15, 8:30. We leave town hall. We get to the NWRRDS Reservoir and Booster Station by 8:40. Have Lee give us a tour there, show us what's going on from 8:40 to 9:15. And then we'll leave there and head to our Calle Buena Vista CAP wheeling station tour from 9:30 to 9:45. And then David and his staff are going to find an area to show you the demonstration of the valve truck in operation and water quality staff taking water quality samples. From there, we'll go over to our production facility and take a look at the SCADA system. And then we'll head over to the Overlook, have lunch, and then about 12:40, we'll return here from 12:45 till we're finished. We'll have a special session just to discuss the tour. So if you could look at those dates, April 12th, 15th, 17th, and 19th, let us know if any of those dates work.
All of them are good for me, so whatever works for others will work for me.
Okay, well, let Maritza know once you look at your schedules. Let us know which dates, okay. Great. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Peter. Town council meetings, communications. No council member Bowen, so...
Yeah, he emailed us that he won't be here tonight.
Okay. And that brings us to director's report.
All right. Thank you very much. Sorry this was the Pete show again, but you'll get a little break from me next month. You'll get a field trip.
Next month's a field trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Field trip. And then at least in May, you'll get quarterly reports from the senior management team. So get to hear from them. So upcoming meetings, March 20th, town council regular session. And then April 3rd, town council regular session. I think this is where I'll be presenting the annual report to the council. And here again, April either 12th, 15th, 17th, or 19th, our Water Utility Commission field trip. And then April 17th, town council regular session. Again, May 1st, town council regular session. And then our regular Water Utility Commission meeting here in the Hopi Room at 5 p.m. on May 13th, 2024.
Which council meeting are you the star of again?
The April 3rd.
Okay.
Should go. Yeah, you know what? Hey, you can sit front and center, and I'll acknowledge the good work the commission does. All right, so water news. Looking at the upper Colorado Basin snowpack, you know what? It seems to be every time we get those winter storms rolling through here, it means snow up there. So this green line here represents the median snowpack. This purple line was, what did we have that? Was that 2 or 3 years ago? We had an incredible year. But, you know, things are showing improvement, which is great. You know, if we can get this median or a little bit above and we get the right amount of runoff in conjunction with the incentivize system conservation, and hopefully we can stay in that tier one or and even see better improvements to the Colorado River system. So, you know, we have another month of probably another month of snow potential in the upper basin states. So keep your fingers crossed, but showing improvement so far. Here again, looking at the Colorado River system, the reservoir status. Here we go. The total system content as of March 3rd was 43% of the system capacity, and that's taking into consideration all the reservoirs and what's in the river system itself. More importantly to us, Lake Mead, it's currently above the Tier 1 shortage, which isn't a surprise. We were expecting that. Hopefully Lake Powell, once it starts seeing getting some runoff, these water surface elevations will increase such that we get a healthy release to Lake Mead. So, you know, what typically happens, and actually this isn't dropping as much as it usually would, just because we've also not only have they had a lot of snow, but we've had a lot of rain, and we had a lot of tributary flows contributing to these water surface elevations. So it's holding on. And that concludes my director's report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So it brings us to the second call down.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's it. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you very much, Dranjan. Thank you for
I'm so sorry.
Hustling over here.
Yeah.
You may have sent out a calendar invite. For some reason, I didn't put it in there. If I don't do that, I'll...
Well, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for interrupting your
livelihood. I thought it was a robo-call.
Huh?
I thought it was a robo-call.